Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Yes, we're yet again burning down the house here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host and architect. As always, speaking about matters related to design, architecture, and the creative arts. Today, especially pertinent, is a topic that must be talked about in the widest possible circles. As you may know, there is this quirky little school in New York City. Its original building is at the crossroads of East 7th Street, 3rd Avenue, and the Bowery. A modest brownstone building of 8 stories. And it was built in 1859 by the self-educated industrialist Peter Cooper. I'm speaking of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, my alma mater. And if you've been reading the papers, you will know that there is a new president. He's replaced the previous president, George Campbell. And with all changes of leadership, and in any organization, there are always adjustments in policy and renewal of direction. In the case of our new president at Cooper Union, after only a few months came the announcement, oh gosh, terribly sorry, we're bankrupt. The Cooper Union apparently has a $16 million operating or structural, I'm not quite sure which it is, but a $16 million deficit. And so the president and the trustees are looking for ways to close that gap. And one of the most important things that this new president has stated is that charging tuition is on the table. Well, Cooper students tend to be rather serious in their studies and not taken to protest. Suddenly, I found myself feeling that what is old is new again. And the spirit of not only protest, but we need to get the message out. We need to take to the streets. We need to raise our voices in objection to this outrageous suggestion that Cooper Union, which since early in the 20th century has provided an entirely tuition-free education to those who could qualify to matriculate. I want to talk about the legacy of Peter Cooper. I want to talk about the history of the institution. I want to talk about some of the many different discoveries that my fellow alums have made over the last several weeks. Let's have our first little break. Some protest music from the 1960s. Burning Down the House, Curtis B. Wayne, talking about a free Cooper Union. Let me tell you about Cooper Union. When I was a high school student, everybody said, oh, you'll never get in there. Cooper Union has been one of the top 10 most selective colleges in the United States. Aside from the military academies and the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, Cooper Union is among these as the only tuition-free post-secondary sources of education in the United States. Every other college, university, junior college, charges tuition in the United States, except for West Point, Annapolis, Air Force Academy, Coast Guard Academy, Curtis Institute, Cooper Union. And yet Cooper Union, in terms of the number of people who want to go to learn art, architecture, or engineering, are so many that Cooper Union, from year to year, is ranked, properly so, more in demand as a place to receive a collegiate education than Harvard or Princeton or Stanford. Consequently, those of us who are privileged to attend work very hard, and we're pretty smart cookies. We hold ourselves to a pretty high standard, and therefore we hold this school that is very dear to our hearts to a very high standard. Let me tell you about the history of Cooper Union, for those of you who do not know. Peter Cooper lived most of the 19th century. He lived to be very, very old, into his 90s. He liked to say that he spent his first 30 years getting going, the next 30 years making his fortune, and the last 30 years giving it away. He had no formal education, and he felt that lack. He felt that, and this is very important to the debate that continues every day since this startling announcement that it is being considered that Cooper Union, for the first time since 1903, will charge tuition. Peter Cooper felt, and he stated, and he wrote, that education should be as free as air, as free as water. Those of us who have benefited from a free education, that is to say, a tuition-free education. We all had to live in New York, and New York is a very expensive place to live, so it's not that you get an education and you get a free place to live. But everything considered, the education has been absolutely tops in all fields. If you look at the world of art, you see people like Milton Glaser, who devised the I Heart New York logo, for example, went to Cooper Union. I went to Cooper Union. Many, many engineers of distinction are graduates of Cooper Union. And throughout the years, those of us who have prospered have given freely to the school, as was Peter Cooper's expectation, hope, and wish. So Cooper, who started out as a grocer, and his grocery store was at East 8th Street and 4th Avenue, right where the site of the former engineering building of Cooper Union has been located. That building's now being demolished to make way for a speculative development. But Peter Cooper was a very savvy businessman, and along with his father-in-law, Abraham Hewitt, he got into the early days of railroading, not by being a railroad magnate, by at first proving that railroads were feasible in the rugged terrain of eastern North America. There had been railroads in England, out in the flat plains of England, straight runs, and early locomotives worked very well on nice, flat, straight routes. Peter Cooper liked to tinker. That's an esteemed old job description of a mechanic. At one point, Peter Cooper was given an award by the city of New York much later in life as the mechanic of New York. We don't think of mechanics quite the same way that they did in the 19th century, where a mechanic was usually a man of great value, someone who could make things that worked very well. So Peter Cooper built a small steam engine, he mounted it on a carriage, he milled the iron rails in his own foundry, and he had a famous race between a horse-drawn carriage and his little tiny locomotive, which he called the Tom Thumb. And the Tom Thumb was pulling away far beyond the horse-drawn carriage in this match race. You know, the Tom Thumb was pulling carriages full of passengers, of course. But then, because the mechanics weren't quite worked out, the drive belt from the flywheel to the drivetrain slipped off, and Tom Thumb rolled to a stop while they frantically fixed the drive wheel's connection. It was a leather belt from the flywheel to the drivetrain. And eventually, the Tom Thumb almost caught up. But this was a great sensation because the course that Cooper had laid out was a twisty and hilly track, and it proved that an engine could actually work in North America. And suddenly, everyone wanted a railroad, and Peter Cooper was happy to oblige by providing them with the iron rails, which look today much like they did back then. That sort of bulb-shaped T-section is the traditional railroad rail section, and Cooper made a vast fortune providing rails for the infancy of the railroad industry in the United States. But he had no formal education, and he felt that he would have benefited by a better education. And he determined that young boys and girls, that's the way he thought, young boys and girls of New York who wanted to better themselves should have a free place to hear great lectures and to get if not free, but a relatively inexpensive education. For the first 45 years or so, the Cooper Institute, properly chartered as the Cooper Union, he was thinking in terms of labor unions, I think, when he picked that name. There are also other reasons why union was used. He was a great supporter of Lincoln, but that was later. The Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art was a place where anyone could go to hear a famous orator, or take a class, or use the library. It was conceived of as a center for the free dissemination of knowledge and truth. Let's take a little break, come back and talk about what happened next.
I'm tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocritics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Thank you, John. And this is the way that we feel, the alumni feel, as we try to discover how it is that Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art is bankrupt. How it is that the trustees and the president think that it would be all right to change over a century of tradition of providing education as free as air and water, and how that would be all right, and how the trust that the Cooper Union has earned over the last 150 years will not be utterly destroyed. In 1903, Andrew Carnegie endowed a significant sum to the Cooper Union, allowing what had been a trade school, hat-making classes, drafting classes for young working class men and women, allowing the Cooper Union to become a more scholarly institution, eventually in the 1960s, granting degrees in architecture and art. The Carnegie Endowment allowed Cooper Union to become what it is today, what it has been, which is the only college of art, science, and architecture that provides education regardless of your income, solely based on your merit and your ability to earn a place in the class. Now, in the beginning years, the library was free to the public. Up until the renovation of the Cooper Union in the 1970s, anyone could go into the Cooper Union Library because it was part of the initial mission statement. Now, even an alum has a very hard time gaining access to the library. Things have been changing year by year. Slowly, the trust which the institution held in the minds and hearts of the people of New York City and of New York State has been eroded. Just 2 years ago, a new academic building at 41 Cooper Square was built. Originally, it was going to cost, so it was said, $50 or $55 million. At last count, it is $171 million, according to Morphosis, the architect of record, the designer of record, rather, his own website, triple the cost originally imagined. And the trustees said, oh, don't worry about it, it's already paid for. What we in the Cooper community did not know is that there were huge loans taken. And now the current operating budget of Cooper Union, half of it goes to debt service. No one spoke about this. During the years of Dr. Campbell as the president, everything was fine. Now that President Baruca has come along, suddenly there is a crisis. And the solution, on one hand, we alums have been told by the president, Mark Epstein, of the Board of Trustees, who himself is a Cooper Union alumnus, that alumni giving is not great enough, that we, the alums, are a failed investment, and yet alumni giving amounts to 38% of the operating budget. If 38%, as our fellow alum Kevin Slavin said last Monday in an alumni rally at the Cooper Union Great Hall, if 38% is a failed investment, what is a good investment? There are many of us who want some truth. And yet, when we ask for information from our alma mater, we are told that information is privileged. It's confidential. If, has been said by Mr. Slavin, if you ask for my money to invest in a company, I would like to know where the money is being spent. Those of us who would like to contribute are told it's none of our business where the money is spent. Forensic accountants hired at the expense of an alum have discovered situations that suggest extreme impropriety and perhaps even malfeasance on the part of the trustees, and yet the trustees stonewall behind statements of policy. There was, a few weeks ago, a presentation by the president, and then there was a presentation by the president of the chairman of the Board of Trustees, and the press were excluded from these events. How can there be trust if there is no transparency? How can there be trust in an institution, beloved as it is? How can there be trust in the stewardship of Cooper Union when the press is excluded from meetings? I don't see the logic in this. I don't see the fairness. Let me tell you about the very special beneficence that is granted to Cooper Union. Those of you who are listening who've gone to part of the SUNY system, the State University of New York, may find this offensive. I'm sorry. Cooper Union is granted, traditionally and by an inference of its 1859 charter, payments in lieu of real estate tax for land that it owns. For example, let me say, Cooper Union owns the land under the Chrysler Building. The Chrysler Building does not pay property taxes to the city of New York. It pays those amounts to Cooper Union. That, I say, holds Cooper Union to a level of public trust to use those funds wisely, transparently, openly, open to scrutiny by anyone, because the city of New York is subsidizing the Cooper Union. There are many pieces of property that the Cooper Union happens to have acquired over the years. Mr. Cooper himself and his heirs gave generously to the institution. All of those properties, if they have, whether they have academic buildings on them or commercial buildings on them, all of that land is not subject to real estate tax, but rather to payments to the Cooper Union. And for that reason, if only that reason alone, the Cooper Union and the trustees and the president own a huge obligation of moral trust to the people. How can it be any other way? Were tuition to be charged, that trust, I fear, would be impossibly destroyed. Let's have a little instant karma for a couple minutes, Jack, please, and I'll come back.
So karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right in the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What in the world you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love. What on earth you trying to do? It's up to you. Yeah, you. And karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the face. You better get yourself together, darling. Join our human race. How in the world are you gonna see? Laughing at fools like me. Who on earth do you think you are? A superstar? Instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you right off your feet. You better recognize your brother. Is everyone you meet? Why on earth are we here? Surely not to live in pain and fear. And why on earth are you there? When you're everywhere, come and get your share. When we all
burning down the house, Cooper Union must be free. I'm Curtis B. Wayne here on Heritage Radio Network, speaking to you on the 11th of December, 2011. No, we the alums and the current students will not shut up. We will not stop asking questions. We want to know where the money went. Forensic accountants were hired at the expense of alums, and they found that the 990 forms, this is something that not-for-profits have to file every year, were so fucked up they had never seen anything that had not been intentionally put together to obscure the facts. There's no transparency. Therefore, there is no trust. Here's the instant karma moment. The trustees of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art are beholden to no one except the Attorney General of the State of New York. No one except the state government. The Cooper Union is beholden to no one under terms of its charter except the state legislature, which under the 1846 Constitution of the State of New York clearly states that a corporate entity, that could be my business, your business, or the Cooper Union, enjoys a charter at the pleasure of the legislature, and that charter may be revoked or amended at the pleasure of the state legislature. If tuition is charged at Cooper Union, trustees, then the Cooper Union becomes yet again a trade school, like every other college that grants degrees for payment, not a scholarly center where merit and performance and scholarship are the sole criteria for you to be matriculated, but rather pay as you go, like every other college and university in the United States. And this distinction that Cooper Union has enjoyed for that very reason of a meritocracy will cease to exist, I do believe, because it will become like every other college. The only reason for there to be a Cooper Union is that Peter Cooper said, wrote, believed, died believing that Cooper Union will provide education as free as air, as free as water. It can be no other way. There cannot be a Cooper Union that charges tuition. Already, the depredations of Peter Cooper's dream are manifold. So many events in the Great Hall. If you have not been to the Great Hall, you really must go and see it. It is where Cooper Union hosted, where Peter Cooper hosted this relatively unknown Illinois lawyer by the name of Lincoln, who gave a speech, who came alone by carriage, who stood at a podium, which is still there today, and made a speech that said that a house divided against itself cannot stand, apropos of slavery. From that Cooper Union speech, Lincoln went on to become elected, arguably our greatest president ever. There in the Great Hall, events to this day happen now that you have to pay admission to, which is wrong. The public is no longer allowed into the library. The public is not even allowed to go into 41 Cooper Square to look at this marvelous new academic building. The Cooper Union that exists today needs reformation. It needs to work very hard to regain the public trust, which has been squandered. The trustees nominate each other. The Board of Trustees is nominated by the preceding trustees. What's going on? Is this a holdover to the days of Tammany Hall? Where's the money going? People ask. No one will tell us. It's confidential. Are trustees feathering their own nests? Are friends of trustees being given large contracts that are not accounted for? We do not know. On an architectural note, I'll give you a couple of instances as to why I do not trust those who have the stewardship of my beloved alma mater with my money. Not so very long ago, in the Great Hall, the cast iron and bent wood cherry chairs that had been in place since 1910, which, yes, admittedly required maintenance and occasional restoration, were thrown away, and they were replaced by middling 20th century seats that have an estimated useful life of about 40 years. Throw out 100-year-old seats rather than restore them and replace them with basically disposable seating. We struggle with issues of sustainability in our architect's profession, trying to teach our younger generation coming up that one of the easiest ways to be sustainable is to not throw away things in favor of the new or the novel, but to hold on to artifacts that are still serviceable, fix them up, keep them going. All of the energy, all of the effort, all of the expense that is already there already gives you a sustainable model. The Cooper Union threw out historic seating and asked for our donations to pay for the new disposable seating. kind of crap is that? What kind of institution is teaching lessons that, oh, it's worn out, throw it away, rather than, hey, there's some value here, let's fix it up. Then there's the matter of the new academic building. It replaced the Hewitt building, which was built very strongly with granite and limestone facing, with very strong structure, so as to support more construction at a later date. It was understood that at some time the Cooper Union would need more space. That building, the Hewitt building, was torn down. It took them several weeks to take it apart. It was so well built to be replaced by this excrescence by the California architect's Morphosis. You'll see it. It has a shredded, perforated metal screen on the front. It has stairs that are dangerous to walk up. Oh, and by the way, many of the windows can't even be opened. It's ventilation only by electricity. The students don't like that. During the school year, we have many days of moderate weather, and the students naturally would like to open the window. That is something that traditionally we did in the original Brownstone Foundation building, and we enjoyed working, hearing the sounds of the city. Don't have that in the new 41 Cooper Square. No, no. And yet it's LEED Platinum. I don't want to get into discussing the merits of the LEED system. All I can say is there's this new monument to the outgoing president's ego, and it has bankrupted the school. Well, surprise, surprise. It ran over in cost, and it destroyed the first part of the building that should have been built. And I have to say that, therefore, I conclude that the stewardship by the Board of Trustees has been deficient. And I don't think they can argue any other way. They've acted in ways that are reckless and unsustainable. As our fellow alum, Kevin Slavin, said this last Monday, that there should not, the question should not be, should there be more transparency? Yes. But rather, there must be more transparency. There must be trust. And yet, those entrusted with carrying the Cooper Union for the advancement of science and art into the future won't discuss their plans because they're confidential. Won't tell us where the funds that have been given have been spent because it's confidential. At the same time, the Cooper Union is subsidized by the city of New York. How long do they think that this goodwill is going to last if tuition is charged? There is nothing under constitutional law from the state legislature amending either the Cooper Union charter or rescinding it, bringing down the House of Cards. And yet the trustees want to, they want to risk that. I guess they're feeling lucky. I guess no one will notice, they're thinking, if we start to charge some tuition. Well, why not just some tuition? Why not, I say, why not open the library to the public? Why not sell that atrocious building at 41 Cooper Square and rent lab space? Move the lab equipment someplace. Rent space somewhere else. Live within the means of the budget. Get rid of the white elephant. Have a white elephant sale. NYU's got plenty of cash. Sell it to NYU. Rent it back. There are many possibilities. Ah, the foundation building. You should go and have a look at it. The first floor has storefronts. It's because Peter Cooper had a very smart idea. He knew that his own finances couldn't pay for the school alone. The ground floor of the foundation building was built and was operated as rent-paying shops. Move the library, which is now on the ground floor, someplace else. Move it into the White Elephant. Rent out those shops. That's Peter Cooper's original plan. There haven't been shops in the ground floor of the foundation building since the Haydick renovation of 1973. Before that, in the 19th century, all of those shops were rented out. Matter of fact, in order to make ends meet, the Cooper Institute rented out space on the top floor with printing presses. These things could be done again. They have opportunity to bring in revenue. The whole area around Astor Place is so much improved from when I was a student 40 years ago. You could get killed on 8th Street. It was that bad. Now it's a hub of economic activity. Rent out those shop spaces. Bring in some income. Live within your means. There are many, many possibilities. But charging tuition, that cannot be an option. That must be off the table. If it is not off the table, what I am going to do is I am going to use my bully pulpit to encourage the state legislature to amend the Cooper Charter, which is within their right, to give the trustees a choice. Either the school goes into receivership under state direction, or accept that the charter of the Cooper Union be amended that it should never charge tuition. I think that that would be only proper and right for the legislature to do. We'll see what happens. Jack, let's just skip off to the very last track. I've said my piece. Free Cooper Union must be, must continue, must into perpetuity be tuition free. You're going to write your comments to me, care of info@heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, a proud alumnus of the Cooper Union in New York City. Speak with you again. Keep the faith.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.